in her days locked in a villa where she daydreamed about his murder. And while he hadn't wanted any part of the sham marriage, I assumed, since he seemed to be such a commitment phobe, he was honor-bound to do his part for his family. He felt sorry for her, knowing that she was trapped in an impossible situation, and over time had learned to care for her. That was where that part came in. And to cope with a loveless marriage to a woman who systematically plotted his death, I could probably help her with that, he whored himself around, using sex as a panacea. Shit. Or maybe I needed to take some freaking Ambien or something. Surely it was the lack of sleep making me sound like a crazy person. That, or it could be that a drug lord and his secret South American wife had recently been prosecuted. One of my friends was an assistant to the DA and had mentioned it over drinks. She made shitty money, but her stories were always great. Criminals were all the same. And why should Roman's family be any different? Harper? My head snapped to attention as the sexy whore bastard said my name. Sorry, what was that? I tried to smile sweetly, remembering to stick with the plan. Do not call any attention to yourself. He watched me as he spoke. I said, can you email me the deposition from Tuesday? Sure thing. My lips thinned into a tight smile. I'll do it right now. I hated that I still found him attractive. That even though I knew, okay, assumed he was involved in bad shit, his face and his body did things to mine that I did not understand. I was a terrible person. But there was a silver lining. If I could somehow find a way to get justice for those, me included, that he and his brothers had wronged, then surely it would be worth it. I just needed more information. And in order to do that, I needed him to trust me and believe it was business as usual. Which is why I was still flirting with him. It killed me. Fine, it wasn't completely terrible. Shelve your judgment to pretend. But I did it, and I would continue to do it until I knew everything. Hell, I could be the key to a major crime investigation. I almost had no choice in seeing this all the way through. My fingers tapped on my laptop, the sentence having been written 3 times and still didn't make sense before I stopped typing. What are you doing tonight? Not this. He didn't lift his head, continuing with his own document hell. I swear, they should hand out a prenup with the diamond ring. Why anyone would get married is a mystery, but getting hitched without the paperwork is just plain stupid. I fought the urge to roll my eyes, lacking complete surprise at his romantic deficiency. He'd probably been soured by his own experience. I'm almost positive that most people don't get married believing they are going to get divorced. Unless you were Roman Pierce, and then he probably made you so crazy that divorce was all you thought about. Divorce or death. It was a 50-50 split. Yeah, well, most people are idiots, he deadpanned, blowing out a frustrated breath. Speaking of idiots, I couldn't help myself, smiling sweetly as I pushed my laptop to the side. What are your plans tonight? His fingers paused mid-stroke, looking at me with suspicion. Why? Shit, I had been too eager. I should have insulted him more. I need to buy you dinner, I said casually, like it was the most natural thing in the world. You know, to pay you back for buying mine. So if you don't have plans, we'll do that. As far as lame excuses, it was the lamest. So ridiculously stupid, it was almost an insult to my intelligence. But I needed a reason to get him alone to talk, and as far as workable ones, it would do. Twice he'd paid for my dinner, and it was common knowledge I didn't like being indebted to people, even more so when it was him. So, in fitting with my personality, it would make sense I would want to even the score. He looked amused, ignoring his computer entirely as he turned to face me. I'm sorry. Did I miss a question somewhere? I asked you what your plans are. That was the question. I rolled my eyes, wondering why he had to make everything so difficult. So, are you free or not? I can probably clear my evening for you, Harper. His eyes caught mine. If you say please. Don't do me any favors, Roman. I was already regretting my decision, wondering if I wasn't getting in over my head. This is a yes or no proposition, and the offer has an expiration time as well. Yes, Harper, We'll have dinner. He waved his hand, decreeing it so as he gave me a smirk.
I'll pick you up at 8.
Whoa, what just happened? How did we get from me extending an invitation to him controlling the tone and picking me up at 8? That wasn't happening. I have a car and can drive myself. We can meet there, I was quick to add, knowing that being alone with him was dangerous. It's when I made stupid decisions, like allowing him to kiss me. And other things. I couldn't trust myself, and I especially couldn't trust him.
Or I can pick you up at 8 like I just said I was going to.
He eyed me hard, leaving no room for debate.
You can pick where we go. That's my final offer.
It never ceased to amaze me how much he could twist things around to suit himself. That was why I needed to keep my wits around him. You know, bullying people isn't a compromise.
I'm not bullying you. You want to go to dinner. I want to drive, he reasoned, making it seem like I was the one being irrational. No one is forcing you to do anything.
I wasn't even going to try to argue with his jaded logic, the thought process making my head hurt. Just agree to whatever, have dinner, find out information, and seek vengeance. Fine, whatever. 8, I conceded, shaking my head. He was barely able to contain his grin.
Wear something sexy.
His secret wife wasn't going to have to worry about killing him. I was going to do that for her. I narrowed my eyes as I clenched my teeth. This is not a date, Roman.
Who said it was?
His brow scrunched in confusion.
I just think if you're going to be shoving your tits in my face all night, I might as well get a better look. That is what you've been doing.
He pointed to my chest, his lips twitching into a smile.
Not that I'm complaining.
Maybe this is a bad idea after all. It wasn't just a bad idea, it was dangerous. I had no idea what I was getting into, and I'd made extremely poor choices when it came to him. I had kissed him 3 times, the last time going a lot further than just kissing. What's more, I liked it. I wanted to regret it, and yet, there was something in me that held on to the memory like it had been a good thing. The recall heated my body quicker than any man should, and I wasn't sure if presented the opportunity another time that I wouldn't do it again. Even now, knowing he was probably married and was involved in an evil crime racket, I was on the fast track to being one of those women who wrote love letters to prisoners and dreamed of the day they'd finally make parole. Shit. 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 My eyes snapped to his pupils expanding as he bit on his lower lip.
It's too late to change your mind. Now email me those depositions. The sooner we get out of here, the better. Shit.
The potential for this to end badly was huge. So, you're dating him? Morgan had been switched to night shift and was just about to leave when I got home. She stood at the door with a dinner-filled Tupperware container in her hand, her brow furrowing in concern. It's not a date, I assured her, dumping my handbag on the kitchen table. I told you, we're just going to talk. My theory on Roman and his family hadn't been shared yet. Firstly, because I knew Morgan would worry, and she had enough on her plate saving people on a daily basis in the ER. And secondly, because all I had right now was suspicion. I needed solid evidence, and the less people who knew, the better. This has trouble all over it, but I guess I should be grateful you are willing to do something other than work. Baby steps. We may even get you into the regular habit of having fun. She looked at her watch, grabbing her keys and her phone. I need to go or I'm going to be late. Just remember to be careful, and if you sleep with him, use protection. I stuffed condoms in your top drawer last week. I don't need help with fun. I have a lot of fun. I screwed up my face in horror.
I did, didn't I?
Sure, I worked hard, but so did she, and I could definitely relax when needed. Her eagerness for me to date someone who I'd been vocally averse to was probably a hint it had been a while. Maybe she was right, and I was a little uptight. Ugh, too much to process right now, especially when I had no idea where the night was going to lead and whether or not any fun would be had. And I'm not going to sleep with him, I scoffed, hoping the rest of me was as certain as my mouth was. I told you, dinner and talking. That is all.
Whatever you say, Lo.
Morgan waved goodbye, looking unconvinced. I've gotta run, but no, it's okay to let your hair down a little. Given half a chance, I might attempt it myself. As the door slammed shut, the clock started to tick, and I was both nervous and excited for what the night would bring. One way or another, I wanted some answers, and I'd probably have better luck with that if I eased off the bitch and added a little more charm. It worked for him, didn't it? So, giving myself a mental pep talk, I quickly stripped down, showered, and redressed in something sexy. Not because he'd told me to or because it was a date, but because dressing that way made me feel more confident, and I figured I had a better chance at learning the truth if he was distracted by my boobs. Yes, I was going to use a little cleavage as well as my brain. There were just some problems that needed the whole toolbox. The red dress I picked plunged dangerously low in the front. I'd only worn it one other time on a date, and that night ended with a drunken homeless person tossing garbage at me and calling me a whore. I was hoping this time around I'd get a better outcome. My less-than-average breast size meant I didn't need a bra, with the rest of the dress molding to my skin all the way to just below mid-thigh. It didn't leave a lot to the imagination, and unlike the night where I'd been accosted by the homeless person, this time around it had been intentional. In an effort to tame my long, heavy brown hair, I blew it out, with my tresses eventually submitted into large, loose curls. I was just putting on the finishing touches of my makeup when I heard the buzzer at my door. It was only 7:30. He was early. Hey! I opened the door, still missing my shoes and the matching handbag. Come in, I'm almost done. His eyes flared as they rolled down my body, his lips thinning into a tight line.
Have you decided where we're going?
Yeah, Nico's. I nodded for him to follow me into the living room before slipping into my shoes. It's this cute little place off Hollywood. My back was turned to him as I adjusted in my heels and continued talking. Their menu is a fusion of sort of everything, but apparently it works, and I heard the food is... The breath eased out of my lungs as I turned back to face him, finding him closer than I anticipated. I slammed into his chest, his body unyielding. He smelled amazing, the fresh manly scent of his cologne wafting up my nose as my face hovered inches from his chest. He wasn't wearing his usual suit, either, dressing down in a pair of charcoal-tailored pants and a black button-down shirt. No tie, no jacket, and no idea how to convince myself that I didn't want to maul him within an inch of his life, even though he was probably a married, dirty lawyer with a family in organized crime.
Where's your sister?
He didn't move, his firm body flush against mine. Working? I took a step back, giving us some distance, deliberately not giving him any more information than I already had. It was one thing to be alone with him in my apartment just before we left for dinner. It was another for him to know that no one would be home when we got back, either. I had meant what I said when I told Morgan I wasn't going to sleep with him. But I wasn't about to give a diabetic person a piece of cake and see what would happen either. And as far as irresponsibility went, me being alone with Roman and giving the diabetic the cake were one and the same. We should probably go. Traffic. I grabbed my handbag, the international female sign for let's get out of here, and walked back over to the front door. He waited a minute, being creepy a little longer as he stared before he decided he was going to join me. The sooner we got out of there, the better.
My car is parked out front.
He opened the door, moving to the side to give me room to step outside and lock up behind us. I felt his eyes on me the entire time, the icy blue weight of his stare dissecting every single one of my movements as he followed me down the hall. Never had I been so glad we only lived on the second floor. It was easier to walk down a couple flights of stairs than step into the confined space of an elevator. I needed to remember that at the end of the night and say goodbye to him in the car. So, I attempted breaking the awkward silence as I opened the external security door and stepped out. I'm meeting with Chase Anderson next week. It wasn't great conversation, but it would have to do. At least I didn't sound moronic or flick my hair. And I hadn't fallen face first into his lap, either. So it was winning all around.
Why?
His response was clipped, sounding annoyed as he joined me on the sidewalk. Because I've narrowed down a few options for the acquisition? I assumed a meeting with the CEO of ITP would be self-explanatory, especially since losing the stupid bet against him had been responsible. When we spoke yesterday, he made it clear that he wanted to deal with me directly.
I'd heard rumors he was very hands-on.
His eyes dipped down to my breasts. Only this time he wasn't smiling.
I should probably go with you.
Thanks, but I think I can handle it by myself. And I didn't need his help with something I could have handled as a first-year associate. He eyed me cautiously, his smile yet to return.
I didn't say you couldn't handle it. I said I should go.
Then let me rephrase it. I stopped, nailing him with a look guaranteed to shut down the conversation. I am going by myself.
Suit yourself.
He wisely didn't continue to argue as he waited for me to continue walking.
Let's go.
It was a perfect spring night outside, warm enough that I didn't need a jacket, but the slight breeze cooling the air before it hit skin. It seemed that even the weather was conspiring against me, the mood feeling a lot more date-like than I would have liked as we walked to the curb where he was parked. I had never seen Roman's car. Trivial information about stuff like that had previously been decided to be a waste of my time. Who cared? Besides, it was probably something black and sleek that complemented his preference for dark suits. A sedan, possibly with a personalized number plate. Because that wasn't douchey at all. Eye roll. So unless we were planning on stealing a car before we headed out to dinner, I was confused when we stopped beside an older model cherry red convertible. You drive a 1980s Porsche? My eyes bulged. The rounded curves looked like they had just been polished to shiny perfection. Tonight was just full of surprises. The car, the first, no doubt, of many. He laughed, amused by my reaction as he pulled the keys out of his pocket.
Nice try, but it's a 72 Ferrari.
You drive a Ferrari? I didn't bother trying to hide the shock. How much are you getting paid? Even though we hadn't known each other before coming to work at Moss, Byrne & Carter, we'd been hired at the same time, brought in as a powerhouse duo, or some other bullshit recruitment line, and as far as I knew, our offers had been identical. But if he could afford a freaking Ferrari, then one of us was getting severely underpaid. Probably the one who didn't drive an Italian sports car, if I had to take a guess.
Feeling a little worried I'm making more than you?
He opened the passenger side door, waiting for me to get in. He rolled his eyes as I stayed in my spot, my wide eyes darting between him and the shiny car.
Relax. It was a gift from my brother.
He gave me a tight smile as I slid into the soft leather tan seat. The interior even smelled expensive as I watched him walk around to the driver's side and climb in.
Eric?
I buckled my seatbelt, probably not needing positive confirmation on exactly who had played Oprah with the fancy cars.
Yes, Eric, he clipped, inserting the key in the ignition and starting the engine.
He was definitely a drug lord. Well, that was nice of him. My fingers ran over the leather interior as we pulled out into traffic. I love my sister, but she's never given me a car. What does he do again? I casually threw out, hoping that in the midst of regular conversation something would slip.
Business,
he volleyed back with a one-word answer that gave me absolutely nothing. I took a deep breath, trying to look casual as I gazed out of the windshield. That's a pretty wide area. Want to narrow it down a little?
So I tell you he bought me a Ferrari and you're suddenly interested in him? Subtle, Harper. Very subtle.
He speared me with some serious side-eye and laughed.
Please, Roman.
I couldn't believe he'd think I'd be that shallow. I was trying to make conversation. But for the record, it would take a lot more than a car for me to be interested in your brother. Oh, I was interested, just not for the reasons he thought. While he assumed my questions about Eric were in hopes of snagging me a rich guy who might dazzle me with presents, I wanted the deeper, darker story that he seemed intent on not telling me. He might not know it yet, but all of that was changing. If he wasn't going to give me the lowdown on Eric, maybe I could get a read on the other two. He'd already told me the youngest was in college. I figured they had tried to keep him insulated, hoping he'd go legit.
That hadn't worked out so well for Michael Corleone in The Godfather. Let's hope young Alex Pierce didn't end up being the worst of the bunch. So what about your other brothers, then? Dave and Nick, right?
You paid attention.
He nodded as he shifted gears.
They're in the same line of work as Eric.
I knew it. Like, family business?
You could say that.
Not you, though.
Nope, not me. Are you done with the Inquisition?
No.
Yes. It was clear that when it came to his family, he was tight-lipped and evasive, which would make sense considering the nature of the family business. Deciding I should probably try to ply him with a little wine before I attempted to cross-examine, I eased back into my seat and listened to the purr of the engine. We turned onto a side street and found parking not far from Nico's, the noise from the restaurant spilling out onto the street.
This is Nico's?
Roman's brow knitted as he craned his neck to see.
This crowded, noisy shithole is where you want to eat?
You said I could choose. I unhooked my seatbelt. So, let's go before we lose our table. I'd intentionally chosen somewhere crowded. I figured if it was noisy and impersonal, the sexual tension might be kicked down a notch, too. Hopefully he'd relax a little, like he did at our first dinner at Heart and Vine.
You're afraid to be alone with me? He smirked as if reading my thoughts.
I rolled my eyes, blowing out an exaggerated sigh. Could your ego be any bigger? The food is good here. It's relaxed. The venue has nothing to do with you. He unhooked his seatbelt, tipping his chin to the entrance.
So, we're here because of the food.
Why else? My answer had seemed to satisfy him as he popped open his door and climbed out of the car. I joined him on the sidewalk, adjusting my dress as he locked the doors. He had an intrigued look on his face as we walked to the host station in silence.
I had no idea what was going through his mind, but I had a feeling he was up to something.
Hi, do you have a reservation? The hostess who greeted us looked like she'd had better nights. Yes, I have a table for two booked.
Excuse me, do you have a takeout menu?
Roman interrupted before I could give my name. Yes, we do. The hostess gave Roman an appreciative smile. You guys want to order to go?
No, yes.
Roman drowned out my rebuttal, taking the menu he'd been handed and pulled me to the side. What are you doing? I hissed, too annoyed he was changing my plans to notice he'd put his hand around my waist.
You said you liked this place because of the food.
He looked around the room like he was disgusted.
So we're getting the food and then we're getting out of here. Your place or mine, I don't have a preference.
My jaw tightened, as did my hand around his forearm. I'm not going home with you.
Fine, your place it is, he decided with a sweep of his hand. Now hurry up and order. I'm hungry.
I was just about to argue when his phone buzzed, the soft beeping coming from his pants pocket. He slid it out, looking at the screen before silencing it and sliding it back in. Girlfriend? I asked curiously, my hands anchoring on my hips.
I told you I'm not dating anyone, he answered, looking at the menu he'd been handed as the phone once again beeped.
You can take the call, you know, I offered, curious to know if he was avoiding the call because of the caller or because of me. Whoever it is, they are obviously trying to get a hold of you.
I'll get to it later.
He dismissed it without even looking up.
What's not going to get us food poisoning in this place?
He was infuriating. I wanted to take that menu he was so intent on reading and shove it right down his throat. I think food poisoning might improve your disposition. I glanced at the menu, having already decided I was ordering the braised chicken with a baked potato. You should try the steak. I hear it comes with a side of joy. He laughed, his hand moving lower on my hip.
Steak it is, then.
We placed our order to go against my better judgment, and after a heated, hushed argument at the counter, I paid, collecting our food so we could return to the car. In less than 30 minutes, I was going to be faced with the reality of being alone with Roman in my apartment. He's an asshole, I reminded myself.
And you hate him.
My body, unconvinced that either of those two reasons were good enough not to sleep with him. I'm not sleeping with you, I said the minute I was sitting in the car. We're eating, talking, and then you're leaving.
Whatever you want, Harper. He grinned as he pulled out into traffic.
Anything we do will be your decision.
Chapter 12. I had talked a good game. Kept the conversation innocent enough on the entire drive and even managed to wrangle out that his parents were divorced. His father had remarried, but his mother hadn't, and it would be a cold day in hell before he'd ever take the walk down the aisle himself. I assumed this was because of his forced marriage to his South American mafia princess, but there was a reasonable possibility I'd been wrong about that. Firstly, if they were going to force her to marry someone, they would have chosen a better candidate. Roman was too visible. His career too exposed to be able to harbor a secret, possibly illegal immigrant wife. They needed him for important things, like beating a RICO charge or helping legitimize the millions in drug money. The wife would be wasted on him. It was more likely that I had an overactive imagination and was overly suspicious. That, and sleep deprivation chased with copious amounts of caffeine, didn't exactly set me up to make the most rational of choices. Maybe I was trying to rationalize insanity to explain away my attraction to Roman. Because the more I thought about it, the more ridiculous it sounded. Just the marriage part. Everything else was still plausible until proven otherwise. And I pretended it didn't thrill me that the threat of his fictitious forced marriage was over, and I didn't have to wear the stain of his infidelity on my soul. Not that we'd slept together. It was a fine line, and I knew I was dancing on it. But it still made my skin crawl that I might be party to someone else's deceit, fictional forced marriage or otherwise. And even though I reminded myself of the dinner-talk-no-sex plan, I had barely gotten into my apartment when he slammed the door shut behind us and pushed me up against the wall. The paper bag that housed our dinner tumbled to the floor as he pressed his mouth against mine. His hand moved to the back of my neck and pulled me closer. "We're not supposed to be..." I stalled out, the rest of my sentence getting lost when I felt him hard. "We were supposed to be having dinner."
"Then tell me to stop," he rubbed against me, "because there is only one thing I want to be eating right now, and they didn't serve it at Nico's."
It was wrong. So wrong. Oh, God, then why did it feel so good? "Roman." My back arched, feeling more of him as my body made contact. I wanted to tell him to stop, but I couldn't make my mouth say the words.
"God, I want you." He sucked against my skin. "More than I've ever wanted any woman."
There was a gentle bite against my collarbone.
"And all I keep thinking about is peeling this sexy fucking dress off and being inside of you."
"That isn't a good idea," I said, for my benefit as much as his. "I don't even like you." My attempt to rationalize not making much sense as I continued to kiss him.
"Then hate me and fuck me," he whispered against my mouth, his teeth pulling against my bottom lip. "I promise I'll make you come harder than you did on my hand."
I yanked at the waist of his tailored pants, desperate to touch him. My fingers fumbled for the zipper, pulling it down roughly as my hand wrapped around him.
"Fuck," he growled through his tight jaw, breathing heavily through his nose as I stroked. "That feels so good."
"Bedroom." I kicked off my shoes, the dinner forgotten as my fist locked around his shirt and pulled him to my room. "And the first time you made me come wasn't that great. I'm expecting you to make good on that promise to be better."
"You going to continue to be a lying bitch?"
He grabbed my ass, hauling me onto his body as he carried me to my bed. "Stop talking and kiss me." My fingers busied themselves at the buttons of his black shirt, each one revealing a little more toned, tanned skin underneath. It was even better than I remembered it, the hard lines rippling under my fingertips. He tossed me against my mattress, pulling his shirt off and throwing it to the floor. He turned on the lamp on my nightstand, his beautiful muscular skin catching the light as he flexed.
"When I get you naked, we're going to have sex, so think carefully about what you want."
"If your mouth is going to continue to move, Roman, please find a better use for it." I stretched out on the bed, pulling him down on top of me. He pushed aside the front of my dress, exposing my puckered nipple, his head bending as his tongue swirled around it. Like this?
Yes. My back arched, loving the feeling of his hot breath on my skin. Whatever my reasons were for not sleeping with him, they no longer mattered. I knew there wasn't a deep emotional connection. I knew there would be no long-lasting relationship. But if all either of us wanted was sex, maybe we could push all of that other stuff aside and just enjoy each other for a while. And I would take the repercussions and serve my penance as long as he continued to make me feel good. Oh, how he made me feel good.
If you are fond of this dress, then I recommend you take it off now.
His impatient hands yanked at the back, trying to find a way out of it. Don't bust the zipper. Give me a minute. I awkwardly reached around and got it started, his hands taking over and pulling it down the rest of the way.
Get it off.
He fisted the fabric, pulling it over my head before tossing it to the floor. His hungry eyes devoured my mostly naked skin as he stripped off his shoes, socks, and pants. The hard ridge of his cock strained against the front of his boxer briefs.
You wear this for me?
His finger flicked at the edge of my lacy black thong.
Hoping I'd see it?
His hands grabbed me around the waist, flipping me over before he rubbed his erection along the seam of my ass.
I hate to disappoint you, but I'm not interested in lingerie. I'm after what's underneath.
It wasn't for you, I lied, my hands fisting the sheets either side of me as he slid down the thong. The limited coverage the fabric had been providing gone, exposing me completely naked.
You are such a liar.
He smacked my bare cheek, the heat of his open palm replaced by his lips.
And I don't think I've ever been harder in my life.
I wasn't sure if he meant that, or if they were words he said to every woman, but I was too turned on to care. I allowed myself the fantasy that he meant those words just for me. With his hands on my hips, he lifted my ass, forcing me onto all fours. I didn't have time to ask him what he was doing, his tongue lapping my heat as he thrust in a finger.
Fuck, you taste so good.
His tongue ran the length of my pussy, getting me wetter with each pass.
I could eat you all night.
More, I begged, my face pressed against the mattress as I bucked against his mouth, not being able to see what he was doing, heightening every sensation. He didn't stop, using his mouth and his tongue to bring me closer, every cell in my body feeling like it was going to simultaneously explode.
Condom, he barked out,
his fingers still inside of me as he moved further up the bed. At some point, he'd stripped off his boxer briefs, his naked skin blanketing me from behind.
I need to be inside of you now.
Top drawer. I thanked Morgan and her safety-first mentality, pointing to my nightstand where I hoped she'd put more than one. With a quick hand, he dove into the drawer and pulled out the box, grabbing me around the waist when I tried to flip over with a very firm,
no. I want you like this.
He held me still as I heard the packet tear.
Exactly like this.
With one steady thrust, he filled me, his hips grinding against my ass as his fingers dug into my waist. I couldn't move, the sensation overwhelming me.
Harper?
He stopped, his breathing heavy.
You okay?
Yes, I moaned, slowly circling my hips. Don't stop. He growled as he started to move again, picking up speed.
You feel amazing. Every single inch of you is fucking amazing.
I wanted it to go longer, for the tingles in my body to last all night. But it felt too good. Whatever control I had was lost as an orgasm exploded inside of me. Yes, I screamed into the mattress, my body bucking against him. Oh my God, yes, I said it over and over, unable to stop.
Lauren,
he said my name, my real name, as he pumped harder and faster, the heat inside of me continuing to rise.
You feel too good.
He came with a shout, both of us shaking as we collapsed on the bed. Our arms and legs were tangled as I felt him slide out, our matching breaths panting as we lay together in a mess of limbs. I rolled over to face him, my skin covered in a thin sheen of sweat. I wasn't supposed to sleep with you, jerk.
Then I won't spend the night. I'll fuck you a few more times and you can sleep alone.
He pulled me closer as his mouth went to mine.
But go ahead and tell me you didn't enjoy it. I'll be ready in a few minutes for round two. And you, bitchy, gets me hard.
You are a sick individual. I pushed roughly against his chest. And that is never happening again. I wish I knew I meant it. Wish I had the sort of willpower to know I would chalk it up to a bad decision and we'd go back to spewing obscenities against a boardroom table. But no man had ever made me feel that good, and I wasn't sure I wanted it to stop. Even if it was the biggest mistake of my life, oh God, did I want to do it again.
Tell yourself whatever you need to, Harper.
He shifted on the bed.
But we both know that it's not going to stop.
As I went to argue, he placed his fingers on my mouth.
Save it.
His thumb pressed against my lips.
And the next time, I'm going to watch you while you come.
He replaced his hand with his lips, kissing me before lifting himself off the bed.
I need the bathroom. I'll be back in a minute.
It's the first door on the right. I rolled onto my back so I could watch his perfect ass walk out of my bedroom. I hadn't had a chance to appreciate his body before. I had tried to twist around and see, but mostly I gave up, pressing my face against the bed as he took me from behind. But I felt him. Felt his big toned body dominating mine, and what I saw in the few seconds before he'd walked out the door was unbelievably outstanding. I waited, anchoring my hands behind my neck as my eyes stayed glued to my doorway, waiting to see him waltz back in his flawless naked perfection.
You want something?
His mouth twisted at the side, taking his time as he strolled back to my bed. My mouth opened and then closed, my eyes dropping down to his hips.
Wow.
He was huge. It wasn't just his cock, which was impressive in its own right, but the rest of his body was like a testimony to genetic excellence.
Yeah, I thought so.
He threw back his head and laughed.
Tell me again how you don't want to sleep with me?
Every single inch of immaculate muscle flexed like a well-timed symphony, my eyes feasting on all that skin as he bent to kiss me. He was, without a doubt, the most beautiful man I had ever seen. Too bad it probably wouldn't work out between us. We worked together. It would be bad. I fished for the most obvious reason, forgetting the 30,000 other ones I'd had before I'd seen him without his clothes on.
You already hate me,
he laughed.
You've got to come up with a better excuse than that.
So, we're going to have sex. Was I actually agreeing to this? But somehow keep things professional at work?
Yes, we can be adults.
His gorgeous body lowered onto the bed.
Working alongside you pushes me to be better. I like having you breathing down my neck.
His lips twisted into a grin.
Doesn't mean I can't be sucking yours at the same time.
I'm not one of those women who are going to get all swoony and start being soft, I warned. There was no way I'd throw away my career or ambition for a man, no matter how good he was in bed. I will go toe-to-toe with you every single time, regardless of how many times you make me come. His finger trailed up my leg, gripping my thigh tight.
Good, because you're not going to get a free pass from me either. If anything,
he pushed my legs apart.
I'm going to be harder on you.
A sick thrill ran through my body. I knew I was playing with fire, but I had the box of matches in my hands, and I wasn't about to toss them away. I didn't want a boyfriend. I didn't have time for it. But if my biggest adversary ended up being the best sex I'd ever had, then who said I couldn't do both? There has to be rules. My hand moved to his, stopping it from moving further up my thigh. The two areas stay separated, always. Throw whatever you want at me, Roman, but it doesn't get personal.
Agreed.
He nodded, his eyes focusing on my mouth.
I'll play fair. Now, you're done talking, I want to lay you out and watch you scream my name while I bury myself in you.
My skin heated as a wicked grin spread across my lips. Don't be offended if I scream out someone else's name instead.
I figured it's nicer than calling out asshole or cocksucker.
No one else's name, he warned as his eyes darkened. I prefer asshole or cocksucker.
He was just about to kiss me when his phone buzzed, the repetitive trill coming from a pile of clothes on the floor at the end of my bed. His chest heaved with a frustrated breath, his jaw tightening.
I have to get that.
Sure. I watched him move off the bed, curious if it was the same caller who had been ignored earlier. While I had agreed to a sex-only relationship with him, I still knew very little about his life. And whether he wanted to give me that information or not, I was going to find out. His head shook, raking fingers through his hair as he bent down to the pants that had been discarded on the floor and pulled out his phone. If he'd been surprised by the caller, he didn't show it. His face impassive as he looked at the screen, hit the button and answered.
Roman.
My heart thumped as I waited for him to excuse himself or signal to me that he was walking into the living room to take it. But he didn't. His eyes stayed on me as he listened to whoever was on the other end of the line.
Are you sure you want to do that?
He paused, shaking his head.
Yes, I know someone, but I would rather handle this in-house.
Another pause, his grip around the phone tightening.
Fine. I'll see you later.
He ended the call, tossing the phone onto the floor in frustration. Whatever had been said was obviously not what he'd wanted to hear, tension spreading across his forehead as he reached down and pulled on his boxer briefs.
Round two is going to have to wait.
Is everything okay? I watched as he pulled on his pants, continuing to get dressed. Round two wasn't only on hold, he was leaving.
It will be.
He reached into his back pocket and pulled out his wallet. What the hell? My eyes widened as he peeled off $100 bill and held it out toward me.
Here, you need to take this.
Are you fucking insane? I slapped his hand and the money away. Do you think I'm a fucking prostitute? Rage filled me as I searched my immediate space for a weapon. While we weren't exactly in a place of love and devotion when we fell into bed together, I assumed he didn't think I was a whore either. I was going to kill him. Screw Morgan and her just steam-cleaned rug.
No, I think you're a fucking lawyer.
He pushed the money closer, ignoring my death stare.
Take it as an advance on your retainer.
What the hell? What? My eyes moved from his hand to his face, with none of it making sense. If this was some kind of joke, then he was giving one hell of a performance. I was Alice, tumbling down the rabbit hole with no sense of who or what would be on the other side.
You need to come with me tonight, and I need you in the capacity to represent someone.
He put the money on the bed and pulled on his shirt, his deft fingers moving steadily up the buttons.
What happens at the meeting will fall under privilege, you understand?
What? I said again, because all those words had just made me more confused. He was hiring me as a lawyer? I had been wrong. It wasn't a rabbit hole I'd fallen into. I'd stumbled headfirst into a John Grisham novel.
My brother is being a pain in my ass.
Next came his socks and shoes.
He wants a second legal opinion, but it's a sensitive matter.
The bed compressed under his weight as he took a seat and picked up the $100 again.
Take the money, Lauren. We need to go.
If I'd had even an ounce of common sense, I'd have told him to shove his money, his crazy-ass family, and whatever insanity he was inviting me into. Forget that I'd just slept with a man I openly disliked, and consider doing it again for reasons beyond my comprehension, and walk out the door. And once I was outside of that door, hustle to the closest police station, and possibly psychiatrist, and file a report. I wasn't sure if it was him or me who deserved to be locked up, but one of us needed to be for sure. Clearly, common sense was in short supply. We need to go now? I heard myself say, suddenly becoming conscious I had picked up the money. I couldn't believe I wasn't only considering it, but some warped and twisted part of me was excited. I needed to take up a freaking hobby or something. Maybe I could start insider trading or overbill my clients. Obviously, I had a death wish and wanted to ruin my career, so why stop at legal representation to a bunch of mobsters? And if, by some miracle, I didn't end up being disbarred or dismembered, Morgan was going to kill me herself if she ever found out I'd put myself in jeopardy. I don't think this was the fun she had in mind.
Yes, now,
he handed me my dress.
Please.
Okay, give me a few minutes. My voice sounded weird as I grabbed my clothes and hopped off the bed. This was by far the most reckless thing I'd ever done, and all I could think about was whether or not I had time to put on makeup as I raced to the bathroom, redressing and cleaning myself up. My pulse hammered under my skin as I looked in the mirror. The dress was far from appropriate. Did I even bother with a jacket to cover up with to give the illusion of professionalism? Was anyone really going to care? I seriously needed to get out more. The idea that I was willingly going to meet a man I suspected was a criminal, sign up to help him, and be excited about it, spoke volumes of my epic fall from grace. My attire was the least of my problems. And yet, as I freshened up and adjusted my dress, my skin tingled with a buzz that I'd never felt before. It was totally going to suck if this ended badly. And here I thought the worst thing that was going to happen tonight was my questionable sexual decisions. Ha! If only.
Harper, you ready to go?
Roman knocked on the bathroom door while I gave myself one last look in the mirror. I was sure nobody was going to care about my personal appearance, but if I ended up going down tonight, I wanted to make it easier on the coroner. Yes, ready. I opened the door, slipping on my shoes as I grabbed my handbag and phone. You going to tell me where we're going and what the hell we're going to do when we get there? He took a deep breath, his eyes locking on me.
After tonight, you're going to know things about me. Things that most people don't.
This was so bad, and yet there I was, going anyway. Roman, I took the money. Did those words really just come out of my mouth? I am not going to tell anyone anything, but I'm warning you, if you or your brother drag me into some shady shit, this will not end well for either of you. He barked out a laugh, his hand settling on my hips.
You keep talking like that and you're going to get me hard. Relax.
His head lowered, planting a kiss on my lips.
This is perfectly legal. But you're going to have to trust me, and I will tell you everything after you meet him.
Okay? Was it? A little late now to be having second thoughts. Let's go. Chapter 13. There were a million questions running around in my head, and at least half of those should have been asked before I hopped back into Roman's Ferrari and drove with him into the hills. Beverly Hills. If Eric Pierce's millionaire status was ever in doubt, it was solidly put to rest as we drove past lines of high fences and thick hedges. Not that I expected anything less. I'd heard Bugsy Siegel used to have a house around here, too. And of those questions, thought and needing to be asked, none of them had left my lips, keeping my mouth shut and my eyes open as we pulled up to a large black iron gate. $2,000, I watched as the gate slowly slid open. That $100 you gave me back at the apartment isn't close to cutting it. As the words left my mouth, two thoughts went through my head. One, who the hell was I right now? And two, I probably should have asked for more. $2,000 was nothing to a man who lived in a house like that. But even though I had strong fears for my sanity, I wasn't going to totally go Wolf of Wall Street. Somewhere in all this craziness, I had to hang on to my humanity, or at least that was what I told myself I was doing.
You're shaking me down?
He laughed, putting the car into gear as we moved down the driveway.
I'll make sure you get the rest of your money.
The property was stunning, beautiful manicured lawns with security lighting illuminating the mansion we stopped in front of. I think Millionaire had been underselling it. I took a deep breath as Roman killed the ignition.
Ready?
Roman's hand stalled on the handle, looking over at me before opening his door. I am. I opened my side before I had a chance to change my mind. Roman waited for me to join him, both of us climbing the stairs to the impressive front door.
My pulse raced as he rang the buzzer, waiting for it to open. A tall, handsome, dark-haired man I assumed was Eric answered the door. They didn't look related, but who was I to judge?
You take the scenic route? His lordship is wearing out the carpet in the living room.
I was busy.
Roman looked impatient, tipping his head to the man who'd answered the door.
This is Ryan. He's my brother's manservant.
You're a dick.
Ryan flipped him off before turning to me.
Yes, I work for Eric, but I'm also a friend.
Ryan. His hand extended, waiting for me to shake it.
He must be the consigliere.
Got it. I accepted his handshake as I introduced myself. Lauren Harper, pleased to meet you. I wasn't sure if I was, but I wasn't unpleased either. Ryan had kind eyes, and anyone who called Roman a dick to his face was okay in my book. I also had to wonder if it was a prerequisite to be good-looking and hot to join the Pierce crew. The two members I'd met so far could have easily been featured in Vogue. Maybe the mobster edition.
There was an editorial gold mine.
Pleasure's mine, Ryan grinned. I'd love to keep being social, but you guys need to deal with him. This is way above my pay grade.
He outstretched his arm, inviting us in, Roman placing his hand on my lower back as we walked inside. My pulse raced as we walked through the lavish hall, my eyes trying to not be expanded to full capacity as I took it all in. Ryan led the way, his confident strides coming to a stop beside an open door.
Here you go,
his head tipped to the direction of the room.
Tia is with Leela over at my place. Let me know when it's safe to come back.
I wasn't sure if those names were supposed to make sense, but I nodded as I stepped into the room. A tall blonde man with an amazing ass. Ah, it was a family trait, I see. Had his back toward us, his head down as his hand gripped the mantle. Roman stood beside me, taking a breath.
Eric, we're here.
Eric rolled his shoulders as he straightened, shaking his head before he turned around. He was taller than Roman, but just as toned, his powerhouse body wrapped in a pair of designer jeans and t-shirt, as opposed to the suits his brother favored. His blonde hair was slightly longer, looking mussed from excessive finger raking, and his face...
Holy shit.
The word slipped out of my mouth as the breath got stuck in my throat. My chest felt tight, my lungs struggling to expand.
Oh. My. God.
Breathe, Roman squeezed my arm. This is my brother, Eric.
Eric Larson is your brother?
I managed to wheeze out.
Your brother is freaking Eric Larson?
The question repeated in case it had been missed the first time. I wasn't sure if it was more shocking that I was standing in front of a movie star in his own house, or that I had been working alongside his brother for over a year and not known. In my head, it didn't make sense, like there was a piece of the equation missing. I was prepared to meet a drug lord, not one of Hollywood's A-list. And how insane was it that in my head, an evening with a criminal made more sense? How could it be? The question rolled around in my head as the family resemblance became unmistakable. Roman Pierce was actually Roman Larson.
You didn't tell her?
Eric narrowed his eyes at his brother.
Typical. Oh, give me a break, like you were so forthcoming with Tia.
Roman rolled his eyes. Do you want our help or not? I punched him as hard as I could in the arm, my mind still in free fall.
What the hell, Roman?
Jesus, Harper.
He rubbed his arm, his grin making an appearance.
I never took you as the violent type. Looks like we're both learning something new.
Eric came closer, putting out his hand.
You'll have to excuse my brother. I'm Eric.
I'm Lauren. I tried to find some professionalism, the question of how it was all possible left unanswered. I work with your soon-to-be-deceased brother. I hope you weren't too close.
I like her.
He nodded to his brother.
She's obviously smart.
The entire backstory I'd built for Roman and his family fell apart at the seams. and the reason I hadn't been able to find information on Eric, Nick, Dave, or even Alex Pierce online was because they didn't exist. The family was not entrenched in the deep underworld like I first thought. Instead, their oldest sibling was super famous, the others probably in some other form of show business, and Roman was... well, there weren't enough words for what he was right now. Can someone please fill me in on why I am standing in Eric Larson's living room? I looked between the two brothers, hoping one of them would give me something that sounded like the truth. I assumed it would be Eric who came through. Roman had proven he couldn't be trusted. Why the hell do you have different last names?
I use Pierce for professional reasons, Roman spoke, surprising me. In both our lines of work, we have the ability to attract crazies. I figured this was the best way to reduce the need for damage control. I can practice law without worrying about some guilty asshole coming after my family, and I can separate myself from the insanity that comes with the Larson last name. I'm not ashamed of my family, Harper. I've just chosen to not let it define me.
Wow, that was more honest than I'd expected. And in a weird kind of way, it made sense.
Not that I wasn't still mad as hell at him for blindsiding me. Oh, no, he wasn't getting off that easy.
But if Morgan wasn't an ER nurse and instead had a massive multi-million-dollar recording career, I might have done the same thing. Maybe. The jury was still out.
Pierce is our mother's maiden name, Eric added, giving me a sympathetic smile. Roman changed it before he graduated from Yale.
Trying to work out if that meant he hadn't been lying was making my head hurt. Getting into the particulars would have to wait for later. For now, my reason for being there hadn't been addressed. Unless it was to freak me the hell out, and then it had been mission accomplished. Why am I here, Eric? A look passed between Roman and Eric, Roman finally speaking.
She's good. She won't say anything. My soon-to-be wife, Tia, is insisting I sign a prenuptial agreement.
His hands balled into fists at his side while his jaw tightened.
I think planning for the end of a marriage before it's even begun is bullshit and a bad idea. She went to Roman behind my back and had it drawn up.
A murderous look was fired at his brother, and suddenly the mysterious phone calls made sense.
I told you, it's not about planning for the end, Roman snapped, frustration apparent on both sides. She is just trying to protect you because she loves you, and I can respect that.
And I told you I don't need protecting,
he fired back, the nice guy he seemed to be a few moments ago disappearing as he started pacing like a caged lion.
I love her.
He stopped, looking directly at his brother as he continued.
I am always going to love her, and nothing that ever happens is going to change that. So, if it ends between us for some reason, she can have it all. I don't give a shit. You think I'm going to care about how much money I have in the bank?
It was clear that in front of me was not the Eric Larson I'd seen in the movies. That guy was good-looking, talented, hot beyond comprehension, with more money than he could spend in one lifetime. But that Eric Larson wasn't in this room. Instead, there was a man who was very much in love with a woman, and he didn't want to enter into a lifelong commitment with an exit strategy. The romantic in me wanted to weep, curl myself at his feet, and ask if any of his brothers were as sweet and amazing as he was. Not Roman, obviously, because we'd already established he was a jerk. But there were a few others, so I was still in there with a chance. The lawyer in me, however, was horrified. Marriages broke up all the time, and while it was all fantastic when you were in love and happy, it could turn ugly on a dime. Which was all he'd probably end up with if he got divorced without a prenup. Eric, I can understand why you aren't thrilled that your fiancé went to Roman. I'd have preferred my loved one cozying up next to a cobra, but that was another story. But I have to agree with him. You need to sign it.
She isn't marrying me for my money.
His voice rose, deep lines of tension edging at his face.
We do not need this.
And no one is calling her a gold digger, Roman added, continuing to be unhelpful. This isn't about that. If you love her as much as you say you do, you will sign it. She has already said she won't marry you without it.
Wow, those were fighting words, and no wonder it looked like the War of Asgard was about to take place in Eric's living room. Loki, Roman was definitely the evil brother, had seriously pissed off Thor, and it was probably wrong of me to be enjoying it.
I'm not signing anything until someone other than Roman looks over it. Eric